In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From our verse with the Alleluia this morning, Psalm 104. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Thus far, our text. Some events that happen in life are life-changing. A confirmation can be, or a graduation, starting a new job, or at a new school, or moving to a new place, a marriage, or sadly a divorce, having a baby, or sadly, the death of a loved one. And maybe for some of you, there has been something in your life that no one else knows about, but your life has never been the same since. Some events happen on a larger scale and change many lives at once, like natural disasters, the floods and tornadoes that we commonly get here in the Midwest, have changed a great many lives. Stock market booms and busts have made or ruined many. The school shootings that take place affect the lives of those who experience it, and then it affects in the lives of many others by the changes that are made in schools across the country because of the event. And then there are some events that are world-changing events that drastically change everything in the world because of what has happened. COVID, September 11th, 2001. The Tower of Babel was an event that changed the world forever. Nothing was ever the same because it divided peoples and languages that are still separate today. Though interestingly, tomorrow is the 177th anniversary of Samuel Morse sending the first official message by telegraph from the Capitol in Washington, D.C. to Baltimore. And truly, the world has never been the same since the ability to connect by sending and receiving messages instantly across vast distances. But one of those world-changing events where nothing has ever been the same since is what we celebrate today, Pentecost. Honestly, the sending of the Holy Spirit is a life-changing event, and in all three of those categories, the sending of the Holy Spirit changes individual lives, larger groups of people together, and even the world. First, Pentecost certainly changed the lives of the 12 apostles. The mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and then they began to speak in other tongues, other languages. In fact, everyone heard them speaking in his own native language, undoing the confusion and gathering together what had been scattered at the Tower of Babel. And the Spirit brought to the apostles' remembrance all that Jesus had said to them, and they proclaimed it. It turned them from learners as disciples into preachers as apostles. And so now everyone was looking at them, some marveling and some mocking, but clearly their lives had changed. Nothing now was going to be the same again. Because even more than the individual lives of the apostles, Pentecost changed the lives of many others. For in response to the preaching of Peter and the 11, more than 3,000 were baptized and came to faith that day. And then many more after that. Then it was, as Jesus told them before he ascended, that they would go out and be his eyewitnesses, not only there in Jerusalem as it was at Pentecost, but in all Judea and Samaria and indeed to the ends of the earth. Pentecost was truly a life and world-changing event. And now also for you. For the Holy Spirit that was poured out on that first Pentecost wasn't just poured out on that day. It is a pouring out that started on that day, but hasn't stopped since. The first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out through the means of the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire. But on that same day, after he was poured out in that way, he was poured out through the preaching of the word, through Peter and the 11, and the water of baptism that changed the lives of 3,000 that day. And it is through those same means that he continues to be poured out today. Wherever Jesus as Savior is preached, the Holy Spirit is there working. Wherever the water of baptism is poured out in the name of the triune God, the Holy Spirit is being poured out in that water and changing lives, creating faith in Jesus, making children of God, forgiving sins, and bestowing the gifts of peace and hope and holiness. Now, I don't know if you ever really thought about Pentecost as a day that changed your life, but it surely did. For the Spirit has been given to you that you might live a new life, a life as a child of God, a changed life in this world and in the world to come. Because you know what really happened? Through the Spirit, you have been drawn into the life of God Himself. God has made his home with you, that your home may be with him, and that you may have eternal peace. That's what Jesus said. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And Jesus also said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That God, who we were separated from in sin, would come and make his dwelling with us and restore to us the peace that was lost, that is life-changing, to say the least. Though we must admit we don't always live like our lives have been changed. We don't always live this new life that we've been given. We allow other things to change our lives and pull us away from this life. Like Eve in the Garden of Eden, we forsake the bliss that we've been given and listen to the lies and the seduction. And like Adam, Eve, Cain, those at the Tower of Babel, and sinful mankind, ever since the fall, we tend to look for life and define our lives in terms of what we want, what we have, what we know, what we do, and in our successes and achievements. We like to hang our holiness like a change of clothes in the closet and only get it out once in a while, you know, when we might really need it. Otherwise, we really like to prefer to clothe ourselves with works of our own hands, things that we do and control as we live for ourselves. But that's like being homeless and then being given a new house and then going back out to sleep underneath the bridge. Or like getting married, but continuing to live apart. Those things don't make much sense, but really neither does being a Christian and not living as one. Yet of this we are all guilty, to one extent or another. Which is why we come here, to our home church. The very first thing that we do each week is that we confess. We ask for pardon, for absolution, for forgiveness. But with that, we also ask this too, what we asked for in the collect of the day for today. With our confession, we are also asking, grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. That's exactly what Pentecost is all about, and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He comes to give us a right understanding of Jesus and our salvation, and thus gives us the holy consolation of the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus calls him the Helper. That word, paraclete, in the original Greek, as I've talked about in a couple sermons the past few weeks, can also be translated as counselor or advocate or comforter, but let's just stick with helper for today. It seems to me you can understand that in two ways. You can understand that in the sense that I can do it, I just need a little help, a little boost. Or you can understand it in the sense that I cannot do it, and I need a helper in order to make sure that it gets done. It is the latter that Jesus means here. As Martin Luther explained so well in the Small Catechism under the third article of the Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. You see, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no knowledge of Jesus and no knowledge of the salvation that he has won for us. And thus, we would have no forgiveness of sins. We would have no consolation and no hope of eternal life. But with the Holy Spirit, as he comes to you the way that he has promised by word and sacrament ministry in the church, you are forgiven and sanctified, which means that you are enabled also to do that word and live holy lives. And that is really important to keep in mind with the words that you, Audrey, and Caleb are about to speak. And words which all of us who have been confirmed in the faith have spoken as a vow before the altar of God. In the rite of confirmation in the Christian faith, we are asked, do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And we answer, I do by the grace of God. But truth be told, I haven't kept that promise. And I don't just mean once several years ago in college. I mean every single day since I spoke those words, including today. And everyone else out there who has spoken those words has also failed to live up to them to some extent or another. Maybe some are doing it right now by not paying attention to every bit of the word and faith that is being proclaimed to them in this sermon. Others have not received the Lord's Supper faithfully as they promised they would. Others have not continued steadfast in their confession and church, and it has taken much less than death to cause them to fall away from it and to never darken our doors. And sadly, Audrey and Caleb, as much as I love you, and have rejoiced at seeing you confess your faith and grow in the knowledge of your faith, you too, like I and everyone else who has spoken those words, will fail to live up to them. That's because we have this sinful flesh that doesn't live the way that it should. We have the glittery temptations and allurements of the devil and the world that are constantly all around us, and we get distracted and forget the new life that we have already and that we are called to live. And so that is when it is the most important to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is that very helper that Jesus has promised to send to you, who comes to you and gives you his holy consolation and helps you keep Jesus' word. That's what Jesus said. This is what he is explaining about the Holy Spirit in the opening paragraphs of our gospel text today. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And then Jesus goes on to explain, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You see, what Jesus explains here is, to have the hope of eternal life, we have to keep Jesus' word. And the word there means to hold on to it, to cling to it, to treasure it, and to never let it go. Because those who do not have Jesus, do not have life. So the winds of this world's false teachings and the floods of sin will try to blow out your faith and drown it. And they would, were it not for the Helper, but your Helper comes to you. He comes to you from the Father and gives you His holy consolation, the forgiveness of sins which Jesus won for you on the cross. You see, the Spirit brings you forgiveness, which kindles the love of Jesus in you, and that strengthens you to be who you are and to live the new life that you've been given as a Christian. And so that is what our faith clings to, and that is why we come to church, not out of some work. It gives no praise and glory to God that you're sitting here. You're here because you need Jesus. And here He sends His Holy Spirit that you may cling to Him. Here the Spirit comes to you and works by word and sacrament to sanctify you, that is, to make you holy and help you keep Jesus' word and the promises that you make according to it. Also that you may have peace and hope and joy in this life and in the one still to come. So this really is life-changing, not just today, but every day, and for all believers in Christ. Because having a Father in heaven who loves you, and a brother who laid down his life to save you, and a Helper who made you who you are, a child of God, is life-changing. Knowing that when you sin, and even when you really mess up, you have forgiveness, is life-changing. Having the assurance that you're not on your own in this world, but have a Helper sent to you from Jesus that you may have peace, is life-changing. Knowing that when you die, you will live forever, is life-changing, because it gives you eternal joy even in the midst of sadness, peace even in the midst of turmoil, and certainty in the midst of change. This is all life-changing. So as I said, Pentecost has changed your life more than any other life-changing event. And that can get you through every other life-changing event. So it is right that we baptized Christians would pray, O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in His holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus here in time, and unto life everlasting. Amen.